Let us begin this evening, Ezes Hashem, Parshas Vayakha. Pekudei is the Sedra that we're going to be looking at. Wanted to touch upon one theme that I think is recurring throughout the Parsha and a very, very basic theme in our Avodas Hashem. So let's take a look. We'll start with Pasuk in Perek Lamed Hei, Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And the Pasuk tells us, Vayavo'u kol ish asher nisa'oli bo, v'chol asher nadva rucho. Every man whose heart uplifted him, and every individual whose spirit inspired him, moved him. All of these individuals came, and they brought with them the Trumas Hashem, the donations for the Malacha, for the Olam Moed, and for the Big Day HaKodesh, and for the building of the Mishkan. And the Mefarshim are troubled. Look at this pasuk carefully. It says, Kol ish asher nisa'oli bo, v'chol asher nadva rucho. Why the need to seemingly repeat unnecessarily a phrase that really seems to be repetitive? What is the difference between nisa'oli bo and nadva rucho? Why the need to mention both? That is the question. And we look in the Or HaChaim. The Or HaChaim right here is sensitive to this question. The Torah is so careful with every phrase, every word, and the Torah does not just repeat phrases and elaborate for the sake of adding added synonyms when there's no additional message to convey. So what is meant by this double phrase, Nisa'oli bo and Nadva rucho? Says the Or HaChaim as follows. Da, you should know, ki yesh shtei hadragos b'misnadvim. There are two categories of people who donate to the Mishkan. And these two phrases are really referring to two different categories of people. What are these two categories? Ha'echad hu ha'misnadev b'ratzon nafsho, kifi yecholto v'erech mamono. There's one category of donor who gives in accordance to what he is able to. How much money he has, his ability. That's nadva rucho. His spirit moved him. Lishlo, that's coming to negate she'eino ose hadavar kamot sa'ar b'nafsho. They weren't giving this miserably, unhappily. Nadva rucho. They were willingly giving what they were able to give. That's one category, nadva rucho. But there's another category, says the Or HaChaim. And that is, interestingly, hu ha-misnadev yoser milcholto, migodel tovios libo. One who gives more than would have been expected, more than you would have thought him able to do. That's nisa'oli bo. Nisa'oli bo means his heart didn't just move him and inspire him, but it uplifted him. It raised him above. Perush says the Or HaChaim, Shahalev minasehu uma'aricho be'erech asher yoser mima shehu yloses dover yakar. Nisa'oli bo means that his heart inspired him to give more than you would have expected of him, more than you would have thought him capable of doing. And the Or HaChaim says the Torah, in emphasizing these two phrases, at first glance seemingly just repetitive, seemingly just synonymous with one another, no. The Torah is telling us that the only donors in Klal Yisrael, all the donors in Klal Yisrael, were these two categories of people. Nisa'oli bo, those who gave more than you would have expected them to be capable of, and nadva rucho, those who gave what they were able to give, but each one gave willingly. Says the Or HaChaim over here, he says, that's what the Torah is stressing to us. Ki b'Yisrael nimtzu beiz sugim ha'nizkarim. There were these two categories in Klal Yisrael. The first was nisa'oli bo. And that's why, notice, says the Or HaChaim, the Pasuk uses the word ish, only with regard to the first phrase. Ish is a word that implies prominence, a distinguished individual. So by the phrase nisa'oli bo, that implies they gave more than you would have expected, more than they could have been seen capable of giving. They're referred to as ish. And then comes Kol Ashenav Ruchol. The average person also gave willingly, just not more than you would have expected. But the point being, says the Aruch Chaim, the Torah is stressing these two categories exclusively. Why? To teach you this lesson. Ki lo hayu bekol hamisnadvim elebeiz hadargos ubeiz l'shvach. These were the two categories that existed, and they're both complementary. Shenadvo b'libam velo asu adavar b'chisaron ratzon halev. Nobody gave unwillingly. That's what the Torah is stressing. They each gave with full ratzon, wholeheartedly. Some gave more than you would expect them capable of doing, but everyone gave b'ratzon b'lev shalem. That's what the Torah is stressing here. That was the godless of Klal Yisrael. Everyone gave b'ratzon u'b'lev shalem, and some gave even more than you would have expected, but there was no one who gave begrudgingly, no one who gave because he was being forced to, miserably, etc. That, says Aruch Chaim, is what the Torah is stressing here with regard to the nidavos that were given to the Avodas HaMishkan. Now, Ramban is also bothered by this seemingly repetitive phrase, Nisa'o libo and nadvar rucho. He also is bothered. What's the difference? But whereas the Aruch Chaim understood that these two phrases are both referring to the donors, and the point, according to Aruch Chaim, is to tell me that the donors all gave willingly, and the difference is just some gave more than you would have expected them capable of giving, and others gave in accordance with one's expectations of what they were able to do. Ramban says a little differently. He says these two phrases, Nesa'o libo and Nadvar rucho, are not both referring to the donors themselves. Rather, says Ramban as follows. And this, Ramban, I tell you, is such a moving, inspiring, remarkable interpretation. And you'll see why in a moment. He says as follows. He says, when the Pasuk says, Kol ish asher nesa'o libo, that, says Ramban, is referring not to the donors, but rather, al hachachamim ha'osim bamlacha yomar kein. This phrase, nesa'o libo, is referring to the artisans, the craftsmen, the people who were actually manufacturing the remarkable tapestries and carvings and utensils and the mishkan accessories, etc. This refers to the chachamim. Why? Because Ramban says when it comes to the misnadvim, to the donors, we don't find the phrase nisa'o libo used in the context of the donors. In the context of the donors, we find the phrase, says Ramban, nedivus, nadvar rucho, nediv lev, nadav libam. The phrase that is used time and again, says Ramban, with regard to the donors, is the nediv lev, the nadvar rucho, the nadav libam. That's referring to the donors. But the nisa'o libo, that refers to the craftsmen, to the artisans, to the master craftsmen putting together the remarkable Mishkan and its tapestries and its kalim and the utensils and all that went into the building and the service of the Mishkan. Why then is the term Nisa'o libo used with regard to the craftsmen? Nedivus lev, nadvar rucho, nadav libam. That I understand. That means generosity of spirit. That's what you use to refer to donors who give generously. But why is Nisa'o libo used in reference to the chachamim ha'osim bimlacha? Why is that the apt description to define and describe the essence of those who produced the work of the Mishkan? Ramban says like this, beautifully. He says, v'tam asher Nisa'o libo. What's the reason for that choice of words, Nisa'o libo? L'karva el hamlacha, to come close to the avoda, that they were uplifted by their hearts to come forward to volunteer to do the malacha. Why is that the phrase used to describe the chachamim haosim b'malacha? So Ramban says like this. He says ki lo haya bahem shelomad es hamalachos ha'ela mimalamed. Because there was no one in the Jewish nation who trained in these very skilled arts and areas of expertise. Omi she'imein bahen yadav klal. There was not one Jew who had training or experience. And here's the most remarkable phrase. Ava matza betivo sheyada lasos kein. They simply sensed that I have this ability. They sensed that I have what it takes. I have the talent. I have an innate affinity for what this job demands, which is remarkable. We're talking about the most remarkably skilled artwork, the most remarkably talented people who never had any experience, never had any training, and they're being called upon to volunteer to produce that which is seemingly impossible. How can someone with no training, no education, produce the unbelievably skilled artwork that was necessary? The tapestries, the weavings, the embroidery, the goldsmith work, the forming of the utensils with such intricate carvings and details, be it the wood, be it the gold. How could they have done this? Ramban says simply, Matza betivo sheyada lasos kein. They each sensed they had this innate ability to do it. And then the second step, Vayigba libo bedarke Hashem. They had a sense of yigba libo, a sense of almost, it's not, the word is not arrogance, because that's a misplaced use of that phrase, but it's almost a sense of pride. It's a sense of, I can do this. I bet I have this ability. It's a sense of confidence to step forward, to do that which has not been tried before, that which clearly demands a great deal of refined expertise. But nonetheless, this confidence of spirit, Vayigba libo bedarke Hashem, I bet I can take this on for the sake of the Avodas Hashem that I'm called upon to do. Love l'fnei Moshe, to come to Moshe, lemor lo, to tell him, Ani e'ese kol asher Adoni dover, I will do whatever you tell me to. This takes confidence, takes courage, it takes guts, it takes a certain sense of pride and self-assuredness. It's almost a little brazen. Can you imagine someone with no experience whatsoever stepping forward to say, I bet I can do this? Who are you? What makes you think you can pull this off? But when it's being done l'shem shemayim, vayigba libo bedarke Hashem, and you sense that you have that ability, that's what we refer to as nesios lev, nesao libo, being uplifted. And Ramban refers us back to what he writes in Parshas Kisisa, which is right over here, Perek Lamed Alef, Pasuk Beis, where he expands upon this in a bit greater detail. He says here that Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim, they were being pruchim, broken, with avodas chomer levenim, bricks and mortar, slave labor. They didn't have time to study silver work, goldsmith work, wooden carvings, stone carvings. They didn't see this stuff whatsoever. When Biden writes here, he says, it's a pell, it's astounding that there's anybody who could know how to do this in Klal Yisrael at this point in time in the deserts, to carve and to embroider and to mold the silver and the gold and the stone and the wood and the embroidery and the weaving. Impossible, says Ramban. How's that shayach? He says people who study in front of the greatest craftsmen, no one has all these areas of expertise all together combined into one. And especially those who are just spending their days working with mortar and dirt and bricks, they don't have the dexterity to do this kind of very skilled work. It's a pella, says Ramban. It's a pella. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen, and if HaKadosh Baruch Hu infused Bezalel with this ability to perform this kind of work. But what you see here from Ramban is the following. You see here from Ramban a beautiful, beautiful lesson. What he's saying is that when it comes to Avodas Hashem, so often, we might be inclined to look at what's demanded of us initially and say, forget it, that is way beyond my capacity, way beyond my ability. There's no way I can pull that off. I don't have the training. I don't have the skill. I don't have the education. I don't have the experience. and we'll just be likely to just walk away and say, no can do, sorry, not my fault, goodbye. And what Ramban is telling us is that at times like this, what is asked of us is for some nesius lev, a little bit of, not misplaced gaiva, but a little bit of confidence l'shem shamayim, to sense honestly, what are my God-given gifts? What are my innate talents that maybe I didn't tap into until this point in time adequately? Kadosh Baruch Hu gives every single Jew certain unique gifts and brachos, and no two are alike. Everyone is charged with a tafkid to contribute to Kiddush Shem Shemayim, to contribute to Avodas Hashem, to contribute to the Tzibur in a unique fashion that no one else can do, except for me, except for you. Everyone has a unique tafkid. And sometimes I will not be able to fulfill that tafkid properly unless I really introspect honestly and ask myself, what do I feel deep down really, matzah betivo, that I find in my nature I am capable of contributing and doing in perhaps ways that others cannot? And then once you identify that teva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed you with, the next step is nesius lev, vayig baliba bedarkei Hashem. Then step forward. Then be the person. This is not the time for humility to step back and say, oh no, I can't do it. If you sense in your teva this is what something you can do, then step forward and take that opportunity when it presents itself. Even when it might seem initially to be something which is maybe a bit beyond my comfort zone, maybe it seems like I'm taking upon myself something too much, but when there is a l'shem shemayim kavana, and there is a matzah betivo sheyuchalasas kain, then yes, vayig baliba bedarkei Hashem, that's what is called nesius lev, says Ramban. Nesius lev. That's a beautiful, beautiful musar, a beautiful lesson, that there is a tafka that every person is able to fulfill that perhaps others are not in a position to do, not in a place to do. Remarkable, remarkable musar. But it requires introspection, honestly, to look at what I have in my teva that I can do perhaps more than others. And I think this theme of stepping forward with the Ratzon L'Shem Shemayim is what you find throughout these parashios of Avodas HaMishkan. Let's take a look, for example, at another thought here in these parashios. We find the phrase numerous times in this week's parasha, last week's parasha, the phrase of Chacham Lev, Chochmas Lev. We have it in this week's parasha in Pasuk Yud, Perek Lamed Hey, V'chol Chacham Lev Bochem. We had it in last week's parasha, on the pasuk of Uvalev Kol Chacham Lev, Nasati Chachma. What is this repeated use of the phrase Chacham Lev? We just described Nesius Lev. What is Chacham Lev? And here, the Gemara Brachos Daf Nun Hey Amid Aleph tells us, Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nosein Chachma, Ela Lemi Sheyesh Bo Chachma. God only grants wisdom to those who possess wisdom. And the pasuk that Gemara cites as a proof text to this somewhat puzzling comment is in last week's parsha, but it's a phrase that we find in this week's parsha as well. It says, Ubelev kol chacham lev, in the heart of those wise at heart, nasati chachma, I have given wisdom, says God. So the Gemara says, there you have it. God gives wisdom to those who have wisdom. And the obvious problem here is, well, how are you supposed to get wisdom if God doesn't give it to you until you have wisdom? It seems like a catch-22. What does that mean? And so Chaim Shmulevitz beautifully describes and explains as follows. When the pasuk speaks of Chacham Lev, in this week's parsha, the pasuk speaks of Chacham Lev as the ones who should come forward, V'ya'asu eis kol ha'shetzi v'ashem, do that which God commanded. In last week's parsha, the pasuk speaks of God granting Chachma to those who are Chacham Lev, Uvelev kol Chacham Lev Nasati Chachma. In the hearts of those who are wise, I have given Chachma. And there as well, it was in the context of performing the Avodas HaMishkan. So Chaim Shulav says, what does Chacham Lev mean? It means one who has an aspiration, a desire, a drive, a ratzon for Chachma. Here as well, what we find is an emphasis on the ratzon, the interest in doing that which God wants, the desire to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. And what we are being taught here is that, number one, one has to generate ratzon to do that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks of us. Once that ratzon is generated, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu then provides us with the additional tools needed to pull off the task. So when we started, we spoke of looking inside and seeing what I think, what I sense I have an innate talent for, what I sense I might be able to tackle and do. But when there's a ratzon to do it, and when there's a ratzon to step forward and fulfill the ratzon Hashem, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu adds to that chachma. HaKadosh Baruch Hu assists me, makes it easier. It all starts with the ratzon to contribute, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu kicks in, so to speak, the siyata deshmaya to make it all the more possible. So when Ramban says, it's a pella, how did the Jews know how to do this incredibly skilled work? The answer is, when they had a sense that I think I can pull this off, and they had a ratzon to do it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then gave them the chachma to do it. But the ratzon has to start with us. There has to be a desire to do and to contribute. And then we find an interesting comment by the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes writes the following. The pasuk in this week's parasha describes how the Chachamim stepped forward to Moshe Rabbeinu and expressed concern that the people are bringing more than enough. And Moshe says, oh, okay, stop. No one bring any more. That's it. Halt. No more. So the Rechaim here is bothered. What's the big deal? I mean, since when did somebody complain about having too many donations? You collect for, Berakah Bayis for the Beis Knesses. Nope, too much money coming in. Sorry, call it off. We never heard such a thing? Great. The more the better. Keep it coming. Keep it coming. We'll keep it for a slush fund. We'll keep it in the bank account. We'll store it. We'll stock it up. What in the world? They're bringing too much. What's the problem here? Moshe doesn't stop. Too much gold? Why? What are you worried about? Very strange. What's the big deal? What's the big problem here? So Chaim asks, Kasha, v'chi raha davar, sheyihi abeis alokeinu ba'otzro zav. Is it so terrible that the Mishkan should have an abundance of gold? So you'll store it, you'll stock it up in the storehouse, in the treasury. What's the big deal? What are you so worried about? Tell them to stop bringing gold. What's the big deal? Can't understand, says Aruch Chaim. What's so terrible? Great kasha. I mean, why tell them to stop? That's great. They're excited. They're bringing. So let them come. Fantastic kasha. So the Aruch Chaim has one approach to answer what the concern was about. And the Sfas Emes has a very different approach. The Aruch Chaim, his approach is that they were bringing finished products. A finished product, once you have too much of it, you can't use it. If they bring you the raw material, the gold, okay, I'll stock it up, I'll use it when I have a chance, when I need it. But if they bring you a finished product, that's already too much. You know, you can't use more than you need. Then you can't store, it's a waste. That's the Aruch Chaim's understanding of the problem here, that they were bringing too much of the finished product. Not too much of the raw product, not too much of the gold, but too much of the finished product. That was the problem. So the Sfas Emes, however, has a different interpretation. It sounds like this. Look what he says. It says, Venera, I think it seems, says Sfas Emes, that the Chachamim, the Tzaddikim, sensed that nispashet ha'snadvus yoser meharoi, that there was too much of a generosity of spirit and an excessive generosity and willingness to give. What's wrong with that? So he says like this, v'chasheshu shelo yihya od beratzon emes l'shem shemayim. When there's a surprisingly excess amount of donor spirit, they got a little concerned. Maybe there is something else driving it here. Of course we want people to give generously, to give more than we expect, more than they would have perhaps been expected to give. But at a certain point, when there is a surprisingly excess generosity of spirit, the concern was that maybe the Ratzon here is somewhat tainted, if you will. Maybe it's not entirely L'shem Shemayim. That was a concern. Ki hakol holech achar haratzon l'shem Shemayim. Once again, what was so critical here was to ensure that everything was done with the Ratzon to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, L'shem Shemayim. That was the be-all and end-all. The Ratzon. And when there was this overwhelming drive to give more than anyone had dreamed possible, that raised concerns. Maybe there's something else driving that generosity of spirit. Maybe there's something else here that's at work. Maybe we're missing something. Maybe there is a Shelo L'shem Shemayim mixed in here. And that is why the Chachamim expressed concern to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now again, a very interesting thought. But when you come from the perspective of that what's most critical is the Ratzon, and that's what then brings about the Siyata D'Shemaya, and that's what we care about most and a be-all and end-all above everything else, well, then if there's going to be some tainting of that Ratzon, that's terrible. That's very dangerous. We can't have any Shelo L'shem Shemayim mixed in here. And Sfas then writes, he says, a famous Hasidic thought. He says, Ki yesh b'kol davar b'chinas ratzo v'shov. In every religious pursuit, there is always ratzo v'shov, progress and retreat. Two steps forward, one step back. You know, there are good days and bad days. It's always that way when it comes to religion, when it comes to Avodas Hashem. No one goes straight forward without yielding and slowing and pulling back at any point. Everyone grows, but grows by this process of moving ahead, step back a little. Moving ahead, step back a little. And obviously the growth is a result of more moving ahead than cumulative stepping back. But there's always that give and take. And the Sfas Emes writes, he says, that's why the Baal Shem Tov advised that whenever you engage in Avodas Hashem, always be sure to recognize that I'm not as worthy as perhaps I might at times be inclined to think. Because there's always the concern that if you successfully conclude your objective and you might become too overly confident and too overly proud, then you lose the spiritual gains that you just picked up. But when you move forward and step back to reassess and say, you know, I'm not perhaps as perfect as I would like to be, and what I'm doing is perhaps short of perfect, there's more to do, more to achieve, and recognize with humility that we're standing in the presence of the Borei Olam, that's the best way to perform one's Avodas Hashem. And Moshe Rabbeinu, the Chachamim here, says Sfas Emes, wants to ensure that Klal Yisrael did not get carried away with their overwhelming generosity of spirit, and that they were told, take a step back, stop for a second. You can never really fully master everything that you're meant to accomplish. Where do we find that someone failed in that regard? The sixth parsha as well. The Nesiim. The Nesiim were the last to donate. We know Chazal tell us they were stuck giving only the stones for the ephod and the choshen. And Rashi tells us that they said, you know, let everyone else take care of what they take care of and we'll give whatever needs to be done afterwards. They were nisatzlu, says Rashi. They lacked that excitement of spirit, that drive of spirit. They were a little bit too lazy, and they were criticized for it. Sfas Emes, in explaining what the fault of the Nesiim was, writes that precisely because they were on such a high spiritual level, you have to be so careful not to become too confident, too comfortable. Not to then think, oh, now I can relax. I've done everything I need to do. Even when one has met with spiritual success, you have to always recognize with humility there's more to do, there's more to go. You can't rest, you can't stop, you can't be too overly confident and too smugly satisfied with my attainments, my spiritual attainments, because then that leads to atzlus, and that's going to be at the expense of this resource that I should be having in my avodas Hashem. The theme here, time and again, whether we look at the Nesiim and their failing, or we look at the Chachamim, the ones who did the Malacha, or we look at the Misnadvim, those who gave to the Avodas HaMishkan, the theme that is replaying here time and again is that what is most critical is the Ratzon to contribute, the Ratzon to do for HaKadosh Baruch and for Klal Yisrael, and to do so L'Shem Shemayim, to introspect honestly, what am I capable of? What do I think I have the teva to do? And to make that drive forward. Recognizing that at times, batsov v'shov, you move forward, you have a step back, you keep on going forward, you have a step back, that's fine, that's part of the process. But ultimately, you have the siyata d'shmaya that Kadosh Baruch Hu kicks in to assist you with that objective that you're looking to attain. There's nothing more critical in Avodas Hashem than the ratzon to do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, and what we can contribute to Kiddush Shem Shemayim and to the Tzibur as a whole. Rav Volbi writes that the Koach HaRatzon is a powerful motivating force. It is a force that elicits Siyata Deshmaya that leads to action. What I really, really want, I'll eventually be able to accomplish. And as Rav Shmulevitz said on Belev Kol Chacham Lev Nasati Chachma, what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see most is a mevakesh, one who just wants, who's driven, who wants to accomplish. There's so much that one can do, so much one can accomplish with the Koach HaRatzon. And that, I think, is the theme here. The Chachamim, Osei HaMalacha, the Misnadvim, giving more than we're expected to give, the Chachmei Lev, all about being mevakesh. I just want to do. I think I can, and I think I want to. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu kicks in with the Siyata Deshmaya. Okay, thank everyone for joining. Wish everyone a wonderful evening. Wish all be zocha to generate a Koach HaRatzon, to see what our teva enables us to do, and to be zocha to Siyata Deshmaya to accomplish what our objectives are in our Avodas Hashem on a regular basis. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful evening, a wonderful week.